Many of us have some idea of what goes on at the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind, but to find out more, I visited Chief Executive Mike Talbot, and I began by asking him what his role was.
I lead the team here at the NNAB. We have about 85 members of staff in total, which people are quite often surprised about. That's because a lot of them are part-time, and also we have a residential care home here at Magpie Road in Norwich, and that obviously needs 24/7 care and uses quite a lot of members of staff to keep that running here in the offices. Then we have a number of different departments, including equipment and information centres, both here in Norwich, a big one here, slightly smaller ones in King's Lynn and Great Yarmouth, which I'm sure many of your listeners will know of. And then one day a week we have an equipment information centre in Cromer. And during the summer we have a mobile information centre, which, like a big caravan, that's towed around the county and parks up in car parks and outside supermarkets, that kind of thing. And all the people we know of in that area are told that the equipment centre will be there. And so we spend a lot of time working very hard to reach people in their own homes. And so my job really is kind of, if you like, the strategic overview of the NNAB and keeping track of everything we do and deciding what else we should do and making sure that what we do well, which I'm very confident we do. And in fact, one of the things that we're about to start is what we're calling a client survey. The name might be slightly misleading because actually we're going to be asking questions of as many visually impaired people in Norfolk that we can possibly reach so that we can decide what we should be doing in the future. We should get feedback from the people that we are here to help. So we're going to be asking a number of questions in a short questionnaire, what we do well, what perhaps we could do better, and maybe things that we don't do at all that we could do. And I'm also conscious that there may be things perhaps are not required so much as they used to be. One good example is technology. And technology, of course, is moving forwards all the time, and that's very relevant for people who are visually impaired. However, the right piece of kit is often getting smaller, getting easier to use, and in fact, accessibility ratings on your telephones, your mobile phones, if you have one, they're all set up, or they can be all set up, so that they can be used by people who can't see. They will just talk to you, and you can send emails or text messages, or it'll read what's on the screen to you, all for little or no cost once you've actually bought the tablet. So that's an example of what we're doing now, and what we're developing is we're going to teach people, we already are teaching people how to make the most of that new technology, and we've got a pilot scheme in fact running over in Great Yarmouth where we're going to be training librarians so that if people come in and ask for a large print books or whatever and have a visual impairment or have a challenge reading, then the librarians will be trained by us so that they can say, do you have a mobile phone, do you have a tablet or whatever, and they can just show them how to set them up so that they can be accessed and accessible and really helpful to people with eyesight problems. We've been around a long time, one of the oldest charities in Norfolk, and one of the oldest sight loss charities in the country. I think 211 years old, something like that now. So we've been helping people with sight loss in this county for a very long time, and I just want to make sure that we continue to do that in the best, most effective way we possibly can.
Do you have any ways or particular means of reaching visually impaired people?
Well, that's an interesting question. What we do, we have a number of ways of reaching people. With your permission, if you are registered, then your details are passed to us, and we have a team of community workers, 10 community workers who are based all around the county, and our community workers visit all those people at home if they want things to be visited and assess their needs, basically, whether it's for equipment or lighting or whatever. So that's one way we find out about people, if they are on the register and they're happy for the details to be passed to us. One thing we'd like to do, and we are doing actually, is to try and make contact with people sometime well before their sight loss deteriorates to that point. But it may be that we can help or be of support. It could be not practical support, it might be emotional support. You know, we can give advice, we can put you in touch with other people who have got the same condition perhaps that you have and can offer advice, or, you know, just a kind of bit of feedback on what you can expect. And so the important thing then is to try and make contact with people much earlier along that pathway. In order to do that, we have people working in the eye clinics, and we're building on that team now, and we will have more and more hours of eye clinic opening time covered by people from the NNAB. And so we're working hard to kind of build on that end of the business, if you like. It may be that at that stage, people have no need of us, and that is absolutely fine.
And is fundraising part of your
role? Fundraising is part of my role. We have a team of fundraisers who are led by Jeremy Goss. Some of your listeners may know about Jerry. He is a former Norwich City footballer. Anyway, that was some time ago. He will be the first to admit. And he, for several years now, has been our sort of leader of our fundraising team. And they do two things, really. They raise funds, and they raise awareness. Again, it's important that the wider community know about us, and if the wider community know about us, then hopefully they will pass the word on if they come across somebody who has an eyesight problem. It's all about just people knowing we're here, really. So fundraising we do, it's a challenge. I think demands on charities are increasing as the finances of kind of social services and national government are forever squeezed. I mean, we always say we're the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind. All the money we raise is raised in Norfolk, and all the money that we raise is spent in Norfolk. But we have to find all the money ourselves, and it's a lot of money. We have, as well as our residential care home that I mentioned, we have some supported housing here on this site. So we have tenants who pay rent. We obviously have the care home residents who pay to be there, but half of them are private and half of them are paid for by social services. And that brings in some revenue. We have our fundraising team. And then we do rely quite heavily on legacies, on people leaving us money in their will. And the charity, perhaps because we've been around a long time, has always been very fortunate in that regard. For us, that keeps us afloat. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate it when people think of us when they're writing a will. And perhaps they might decide to leave the residue of their estate. They might leave money to family and friends and whatever they like. And then say, if there's anything left over, perhaps it could be left to the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind, or perhaps to two or three local charities. But we are, as I say, a Norfolk charity, and that money keeps us going. So it's very important.
And has there been anything in particular coming to this role that surprised you?
I suppose one of the things that surprised me is simply how much goes on here. I live just down the road. I live at the other end of Magdalen Street in Norwich. I'm from Norfolk. And I knew that at the end of Magdalen Street on Magpie Road, there was something to do with blind people, but I didn't quite know what it was, to be honest. And it was only when I started to look at the job and learn about the charity that I realised so much goes on here. I haven't mentioned we have a big children and young people's department that supports perhaps 150 families across the county, and they do a fantastic amount of work. And we have all sorts of different leisure and sporting activities. We run book clubs for audiobooks. We run a whole range of things with a great army of volunteers. We have about 260 volunteers, and they're absolutely vital to the work we do, whether it's driving minibuses or helping with archery classes. We have archery, we have self-defence, we have all kinds of things. And you know, things that make a real difference to people with poor sight. So I suppose that's the biggest thing that surprised me, is just how much work goes on here, and dare I say, how much play goes on here. It is a good thing, and it's a very happy place to work, and it's a real family atmosphere. Our tenants in our supported housing range in age from their sort of 20s to 102, and they all get along famously at Magpie Road. And as I say, we have fantastic volunteers and staff out at King's Lynn and Great Yarmouth. And then with our community workers out in the county, we really reach out as much as we possibly can. So it's not just here, but obviously a lot of the bricks and mortar are here. And it's just a great place to work.
The Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind's Chief Executive, Mike Talbot. Anyone from Norfolk who is visually impaired is invited to take part in their client survey, which is available in a range of formats, including Braille, big print and audio. Just telephone 01603 629 558. That's 01603 629 558.